we got? Daniel chapter 6, verses 25 through 28. The Bible says, "Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, 'May you prosper greatly,' he said. 'I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel.'" That is the God that you serve today. Amen? You are here with us. You are serving the God of Daniel, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. Amen? He says, "He is a living God." He says, "He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves." Have you found that to be true about our Lord today? Amen? He rescues and he saves his... Let me get back over here. "He performs signs and wonders and in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." And so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, and many of us are facing challenges, Lord. Many of us are beset with challenges all around us, Lord. And we could use some victory, Lord. We could use a rescue, Lord. We could use some changes in the situations that we face, Lord. Too many of us are running around in a tie ball game. Lord, we're looking for victory today. We give you praise, Lord, knowing that you can bring it to us. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said... I reference a tie ball game because we had some folks come from a tie ball game today. Alex, there he is right there. Left a tie soccer game to come to church. A little round of applause there, yes. Now, your brother did not come.
Oh, Maddie's brother.
Oh, Maddie's brother did not come. He's still playing. That is Gordo. Now you will see the power of a wife. Pull you right out of a soccer game and get you to church. Amen? Amen. All right. Find a wife. Bible says, find a wife, find a good thing. Gordo is not yet married. When he's married, I'm sure. Never mind. I'm sorry, child, too. My bad. Government almost shut down on Friday night. Did you hear about that? Now, some people say it could have been a good thing. But Speaker of the House Boehner... you guys know who Speaker of the House Boehner is? He's the Speaker of the House of Representatives, right? He was holding out, the House of Representatives sets the budget, and they were holding out for $85 billion. That's a lot of money. Can I get a witness? Anything with some numbers in front of B for billion, that is a lot of money. And so he was holding out for $85 billion in cuts. But he ended up settling for $38.5 billion. President Obama said that that was the largest cut in budget in the history of our country. Amen? Rather impressive? Amen. Think, wow, all the money we're saving, $38.5 billion. Dollars, except there's only one problem. Our annual deficit is $1.5 trillion. That's $1,500 billion. So they've been battling, almost shut down the government over $38 billion, 38.5. Basically, they trimmed the deficit by 10 days. All this drama, they cut 10 days of deficit. In a week and a half, we'll be right back cranking up $4 billion a day. There is a problem with our system. There is a change that needs to be made. Am I talking to anybody out there? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come in here. What in the world is he talking about change for? Is his church? Well, Daniel chapter 5, last week we took a look at a change that God made. And God took evil King Belshazzar out and put King Darius in. And as we study the book of Daniel, We have studied, this is the sixth chapter. This six chapters of Daniel has taken 60 to 70 years to compile. How many people in this room been a Christian for 70 years? Gene Bell, how long have you been a Christian? 70 years? Okay, we're gonna let Gene slide in at 68 years. Can I get a witness on that? So you take now Gene is older than 68. I mean, we're not gonna ask how old she is, but I'll tell you what, we can read these few pages in Daniel, just skim right through. They're like, man, God is moving so quick. Look at what he does. He is sending a message to his people. He is sending a message to all the people. And over again, as we have read in Daniel, it says, I do what I want with the kingdoms of men. Now, why does he say that? I think he says that because we don't think he can. I think he tells us that because we don't think he could do whatever he wants with the kingdoms of men. And we have seen him topple Nebuchadnezzar. We saw him topple Belshazzar. And now we see Darius. Now, Belshazzar was doing some bad stuff. And Darius is just trying to get by. God is sending a message. He says, all the stuff that our Congress is so worried about, cut 10 days worth of deficit. He says, I control kingdoms. Yes. He says, I control what's going on. I am in control. And he says, I am not only in control of your country, but I am in control of you. And the message that comes over and over again through the book of Daniel is, if you would line up on me, I will take you through your challenges. Have you found that to be true? Amen? He says, if you would line up on me, I will be your provision. I will be your support. I will be your strength. But when you line up against me, bad things going to happen. Amen? I'll tell you what, I don't know how much regard our Lord gets in our government today. I'm not thinking they're paying a whole lot of attention. Belshazzar made some poor choices, we read last week. Brought out the goblets from Jerusalem and started toasting the gods of wood and hay and metal. The gods of Babylon, and God took him out. Today we're going to be talking about the most important thing. He says, you put your eyes on me, and I'll take you through your challenges. Amen? Anybody got a challenge they're going through this week? Anybody use a little bit of help? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah? Here we go. God says, I can give you victory in the midst of your defeat. Amen? Show them your hand there, Belshazzar. Look at that. Wiggle the finger. Look at that. He didn't used to be able to do that. Victory is coming. Amen? All right, let's take a look. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps. Not a mouse trap, satrap. Satrap's kind of like a governor, a mayor, something like that, okay, over an area. He says 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over the top. One of them was Daniel. And the satraps were made accountable to them, to the administrators, so that the king might not suffer loss. And Darius just setting things up. Darius is working for the king. He is actually over the kingdom of Babylon, but he is working for Cyrus the Persian, who is king over everything. He is the king of the Medes and the Persians. So he sets up this government to organize all the wealth of Babylon so that the king doesn't get ripped off. See, 2,500 years ago, they're still worried about the money. Amen? Our guys in Washington do a little bit better work with the money. Now, Darius is going to go to Daniel and put him in charge of it all. He's saying, Daniel, you are pretty good. How would you like to be put in charge of all that stuff? I think I could avoid all that stuff, but I would imagine that it is a pretty powerful position. And as Darius is seeing the gifts that Daniel has, he's going to put him in charge, and Daniel runs into a whole big problem because of these 120 satraps. We're going to take a look. All right. The reason Darius puts Daniel in charge is because Darius can trust Daniel. You got somebody you can trust? You got somebody that you can bank on? And Carlos is going, I can trust the Lord. Amen. You got somebody down here that you can bank on? I tell you what, it is a nice thing to have know that somebody has got your back, that you can rely upon them. Daniel, a Jew, had Darius's back, and Darius knew it. Let's read about this. Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities. Do you have exceptional qualities? People notice you. If you have an incredibly long nose, guess what? People call you long nose, right? Daniel was incredibly trustworthy. Daniel was incredibly honest. Daniel was incredibly diligent. And that is what caused him to rise to the whole top of the Babylonian governmental structure under King Darius. He says, he had these exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Does this describe you? I hope you are more honest now that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior than you were before, because I was quite a corrupt man. And I'll tell you what, the satraps, they were looking. These governors and mayors, they were looking. They were looking for the loopholes that Daniels was exposing. Saying, this guy is dirty. We're going to find it. We're going to keep on looking. It's kind of like the press today. They'd be looking for some dirt on you, right? They're going to try and find something. And if they can't find it, they'll make it up. Amen? They're trying to do that to Daniel, and it's just not sticking. See, we can understand corruption because our leaders are corrupt. Amen. They would rather serve themselves than serve us. Can I get a witness on that? And if we get in the way of them serving themselves, well, they just step right on over us. And that is the problem we have with our government. And that is the problem that the king was having 2,500 years ago in the Babylonian kingdom. The king was getting ripped off. And Daniel stands in contrast to that thievery. Daniel is honest. Daniel is an honest man. And I'll tell you what, folks, honesty always works. I say that again. Honesty always works. It has been said that you cannot cheat an honest man. Why? Because you can't get over on him. He is an honest man. And if you are going to serve the Lord, you must move into honesty. You must move into holiness. Because the Lord, it's tough to trust a thief. Can I get a witness on that? You used to run with thieves? I used to run with thieves. Man, you never know when you're going to get ripped off. Now, don't get me wrong on this. Hold the door back there, Johnny. Because some Christians think honesty is enough. Daniel had more. Not only was Daniel honest, but he was diligent. The opposite of negligent is diligent. Okay? And he says that he was not corrupt. And he was not negligent. He was honest and he was diligent. And I'll tell you what, there's some nice, honest Christians. They get nothing done. Daniel was being noticed because he was getting stuff done. Darius said, there is a man that I can use. And I tell you what, you want to be used in the kingdom of God. You need to be honest and you need to be diligent. You need to be getting stuff done so that somebody can count on you. Amen? Amen. Anybody hungry? Yeah. Put your hand up. You're hungry. Now, you are going to be happy. I saw that hand back there, Jim. He goes. See, Jimmy is diligent. In about 15 minutes, Jimmy's going to take off and crank up the grill and start cooking hot links and hamburgers for all you. Anybody happy about that little round of applause for Mr. Jimmy there? Yeah. Because it'd be a bummer to get down there and just have bread, right? Hey, where's the barbecue? Oh, Jimmy wasn't diligent today. But Jimmy's diligent. We can count on him. Who else is diligent? Mike. We put a new coffee machine down there the other week and said, hey, can you move this plug for us and do this? And he's down there doing wiring and all this kind of stuff. Mike is diligent. And it's nice. Eva started a brand new coffee ministry with that new coffee machine that Mike set up. And she's going to go down right after service, not before, right after service, and she's hooking you guys up with some new coffee. She did it on Wednesday. You guys have coffee on Wednesday? You like it on Wednesday? You guys go down there. You're going to have some coffee and syrup. You're going to have tea because Eddie wanted tea. We got tea. Actually, it wasn't because of you, bro. It's Johnny also wanted teas. We got two teas. We got to have tea. You know who else is diligent? Is Ramiro. Ramiro's been going to that Tumi class, and he is teaching a class. Irma, tenemos una clase en español. Abajo, ahora. Está bien. He says, for me? Okay, that's good. I like it. That's good. See? I like that. Okay, I just want to make sure. And Ramiro has a call on his heart. He told me months ago, I have a call to preach. And you know how you can tell, guys, you have a call to preach? Anybody want to take a guess? They preach. I got a call to preach, man. You know what I do? I preach. See, Aaron, man, he's got this call to preach. You see, Aaron, you know, grab Ramiro up here, have him do announcements. Guy starts preaching, man. 15 minutes later, it's like, Ramiro, you had 2 minutes, buddy. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay. Hey, right downstairs right now, he is having the first Sunday class in Spanish. I would love to have you guys pray for him this whole week. He's going to get whooped on, beat on, all kinds of stuff. See, he's honest and he's diligent. We need a whole bunch of folks in this church that are honest and diligent. I'll tell you what. Julie Camacho says, I need to make an announcement. What? She's on. She's diligent. Making a change. Amen? Amen. All right, we're talking about the most important thing. Problems are going to happen. Problems happen to me. Problems happen to you. Amen? He says, finally, these men said, we're never going to find any basis for a charge against Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. And sometimes, especially even in our country, our faith can be a problem. What was Aaron talking about during announcements? He's saying, hey, they'll run you out of the park in North Park. I guess they call it the North Park if you're preaching. Wow. There's something wrong with that. I thought we had freedom of speech in this country. I guess not in North Park. See, sometimes your faith can be a problem. And the satraps are going, this is an honest guy. This is a diligent guy. We're going to have to cook something up that has to do with his relationship with his God. If we are going to derail this. And I got to ask the question, what was the problem with Daniel? He wasn't corrupt. See, I think all those satraps were. And all their little games that they wanted to play, all the little kickback they wanted to throw at Daniel so they could take some home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Daniel's going, I ain't having none of that. Because he says, what? Why isn't he having any of that? He says, the Lord is my provision. The Lord is my support. I don't need your action. And he even tells the kings, he called King Belshazzar, I'll hook you up. I'll give you clothes. I'll give you a chain. I'll give you a promotion. He says, I don't need your promotion. Why? My dad owns cattle on 1,000 hilltop. In the psalm says, my father owns cattle on 1,000 hilltops. A little saying I use every once in a while. My Lord owns the whole planet. Amen? And what you can give me isn't nothing compared to him. So what I need to work on is my diligence and my honesty and be lined up on him. See, that's the most important thing. And that's why their action wouldn't work. Now, I can't fault the satraps. See, Daniel knew the power of God. The satraps had never experienced it. All they knew was shaking and baking and making their own end. You know about that, right, Belteshazzar? Shaking, baking, I just got to make it. Ain't nobody going to give it to me, right? Now you know something different. Now you know the power of God. Now you know the provision of God. And now your fingers are starting to work again. Amen? See, when you know the provision of God and the power of God, he says, line up on me. I'll hook you up. Line up on me. I'll be your provision. Line up on me. I'll take you from defeat and I'll deliver you to victory. No more tie games for you. You want to find victory, leave the tie games behind. Pursue me. How's that new job treating you, bro? Nice new shirt there, babe. I like that. Look at that. He's looking so good. He's over there fixing my collar and stuff. When I'm saying, look good. Man, I gotta make Pastor look good. They've never experienced the power. I hope. See, many of you, how many of you have experienced the power of God in your life? I'm going, wow, this is something that is whoa. If you haven't, keep your hand up. If you have not, look around, folks. Look around. See, and if you have forgotten, and right now you're going, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't forget the power of the Lord. You can put your hands down now. Thank you. Sometimes your faith will be a problem. Sometimes you'll get ridiculed. Sometimes they'll kick you out of North Park. Just keep on moving down the road, babe. Because you got to keep your focus on the Lord. Amen? All right. There will be challenges to faith. When Daniel learned, so here's the thing. Daniel's praying three times a day. And he learns that if he prays to somebody other than Darius, he's going to get thrown in the lion's den. So he says, oh, well, God's going to understand. Kind of like, oh, well, God's going to understand. It's the World Series. Oh, well, God's going to understand. It's the Super Bowl. Oh, well, God's going to understand. I got to do laundry. Oh, well, God's going to understand. You know what? Daniel doesn't say that. Daniel said, he learned about the decree. It had been published. He went home to his upstairs room in front of everyone where the windows opened towards Jerusalem three times a day. He got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. And the satraps set him up. They said, there he is. Look, he's dirty. He ain't going to give that up. Why? Daniel's 80 years old. Maybe 90. He's been praying three times a day for 60 years since he came from Jerusalem. It has served him pretty well. Hallelujah. It has taken him through Nebuchadnezzar. It's taken him through Belteshazzar. And now that Darius is here, he don't sweat Darius. He says, I have learned strength in my life and I'm not giving it up for this guy. I'm going to keep myself lined up on my Lord and let him handle the details. Amen? Amen? I hope you are discovering power in your life. I hope you are discovering the provision of God and the trust that you can bank your life on God and that he will take you through your challenges and deliver you to victory. Amen? Because when you learn that, you'll be like Daniel. You won't be a satrap anymore. You say, I want what Daniel's got. I want to experience what Daniel has. It is a challenging lesson. Amen? Amen. Challenges come. What are you developing? Are you seeing strength to break through your challenges? Because he'll give you little ones to get you ready for the bigger ones. We're all going to face challenges. Now, what do you do when you face your challenges? Some people run. Some people fight. Some people hide. But when you line up on the Lord, you will make it through. Some of you guys run into a challenge and you start shaking and baking. Woohoo! This is tough. I've got to just... Lord, I'll be back in a minute. I got to do a little business over here. I'll be right back with you. And you know what? You can live like that. Some of you live like that. you will never find victory. The Lord will not allow you to find victory. You might get a little score on the side, and you'll get ripped off. Why? Because the Lord is more concerned with you knowing Him than you have a little bit of money in your pocket, especially when you're just shaking and baking to get it. We all learn. I had a lesson this week. Pastor Felipe and I, Pastor Felipe runs a, not Pastor, or not Ramiro, but Pastor Felipe runs a Spanish service, comes on after us. And he had been moving Gail's keyboard. And because his wife likes to sing right up here with a keyboard. And he's messing the cables up. And he wasn't putting it back together again right. And Larry was gone last week, and Gail was going to play Larry's keyboard, and it was messed up. I'm ready to just say, don't mess with my keyboards, man. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, I call him up and I said, hey, what's up? What's up with the keyboards, man? He goes, oh, my keyboard, because he told me that he was having problems with his. I said, what's wrong with your keyboard? And I could have jumped up and down and said, don't touch my stuff. Don't move my stuff. Right? And I'm sure he would have been real happy. All of you know Latino men, you know, they love to be challenged. Like all men, yes, my wife says. And, oh, you got that, huh, Gail? Yeah. Her husband's former sheriff, right? Sheriff or cop? Cop, police, yes. Don't mess with former cops either. So I said, what's up with your keyboard? We spent like 20 minutes reprogramming his keyboard. Now it works great, and he has no need to move our keyboards. He's happy. I'm happy. It's a God thing, guys. See, there is power in submission. There is power in service. And until you try, you'll never learn. Amen? Amen. Daniel was being raised to the highest place. Take a look at Joseph, end of Genesis, raised to the highest place in all of Egypt. Why? Because he learned the victory of submission and the victory of surrender. Because the Bible says, when you are weak, he is strong. Amen? Are we good today? Yes. I'm going to try and end on time. Number three, the plan is exposed. The plan is exposed. They said to the king, Daniel, you know, they said, everybody thinks this is a great idea. We're going to worship nobody but you for 30 days. They didn't check with Daniel. They were lying. Daniel, who's one of the, not your favorite, who's one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king. He don't care about you, Darius, or to the decree you put in writing. He still is praying three times a day. And when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was not angry. He was determined to rescue Daniel because Daniel was key to his plans for success for Babylon. He's the best guy I got. Ah! Oh. Now, he had written the law in the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be changed. There is no getting around the law. In fact, it says Darius can't get around the law. He says he was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Now, how do you think Darius was trying to save Daniel? I think he's saying, Daniel, buddy, can't you just shut the doors when you pray? Pray, I don't care if you pray. Just shut the doors. Just go inside, you know. Let's just get through this next 30 days. You're going to be the prime minister. I need you as part of my crew. Let's just work this out. And Daniel says, I don't need a hookup. See, because Daniel wasn't looking for a way out. Daniel saw this as an opportunity to testify to the mightiness and the greatness and the saving capacity of our God in heaven. Amen? Amen? He says, King, I got to pray. I've been praying 60 years, three times a day, right out in front of everybody. I can't stop that now, King. What are you doing daily that hooks you up with the Lord? What are you doing daily that gets you strength and might and power? Roxanne, you stood up right there. She's reading that Bible, right? You're reading that thing every day. Some of you pray. Some of you worship. Some of you listen to studies. Some of you do all kinds of stuff. Aaron said, every day this week I've been doing Christian stuff in the Word, in prayer, doing all. What are you doing? What are you doing that's going to have an impact in your life? The way Daniel's life was impacted. What are you doing when you look down the road 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, that you will be a spiritual giant like Daniel? Because I hope it's something. Daniel said, King, I've been praying 60 years and I'm not stopping now. Amen? So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel, and I'm sure he was bummed. Check it out, guys. I mean, Daniel's some heavy reading, folks. They threw the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into a burning hot furnace that was so hot that the guys who threw them into the furnace died from heat. Wow. Right? Yeah. Talking some hardcore stuff going on here. Now we're talking about the lion's den, and they throw Daniel into the lion's den, and then they roll a stone across it. He says, and I think that day, you're talking about Daniel needing or having the opportunity for a witness, it was not lost on Darius. Because Darius, as he's being thrown into the lion's den, he says, may your God, whom you serve, every once in a while. May your God, whom you serve on Sunday mornings at about 10:35 when you can make it into church. He said, you know, every other week, maybe just on Easter. No, he said, the God whom you serve continually. May the God whom you serve continually rescue you, because I'm throwing you in amongst a bunch of lions, Daniel. And we throw people in here who are supposed to get killed. And a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring so nobody could mess with it, and the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. How's your situation? Are you strong enough to endure that? Does your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you? Do you see his provision? Do you see his power? Do you see his liberty? Do you see his salvation? Because I'll tell you what, folks, our God is faithful. I'm going to read this next part, man. And I tell you what, Julie Camacho could be teaching Dan in the Lions Den downstairs. You heard it in Sunday school. Why? Because it's a great part. But I tell you what, seeing Mike get a job, that's a great part. Amen? Amen? Seeing the provision of God. Seeing Roki's wife able to quit her job. I mean, Roki came here how many years ago? 7 years ago? About 10 years ago, working grave at 7-Eleven. Freaking out. Freaking out. Never leave. Now he's working at SDG&E. His wife is able to quit. And it's tight. Amen? But it's good. Amen? See, and you can daily know the provision of God, the protection of God, the comfort of God. But you've got to be leaning on it to feel it. Amen? He says, at first light, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called Daniel in an anguished voice, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? I'm here, King. Oh, King, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me because I was found innocent. I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king. Daniel is saved. And the satraps are lost because the king is mad. And he orders all the 120 satraps, the two administrators, with their families, thrown into the lion's den. And they are killed immediately. There is no angel to protect them. And when I read this, I see that there's a law that can't be gotten around, folks. I see that our Lord has the power to save. And I also see that judgment is real. And that we will end up on one side or the other. And as these satraps learned that if you are lined up against the Lord, there will be a price to pay. Amen? Now I'm going to close with the same verses that we started with today. Because Darius is a Mede. He is a pagan king. Just like Belshazzar, and just like Nebuchadnezzar. But we read the testimony. He says, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. This is what the king learned from being on the edge, from being on the side of a man who continually served God. Can you imagine the impact that you would have in your world? With your family, with your loved ones, at your work site, at your school site, on your street corner, that if you serve God in a mighty way, he says, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And this is the message of a pagan king. And my Bible tells me that when the trumpet blasts, that every knee will bow. Amen. That every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Where are you today? Where are you with the message of Daniel? What is most important? Because the Lord would say, I am the most important thing that is going on around you right now. You might think it's the government shutting down. You might think it's whether or not you get food stamps. You might think whether or not you get your tax refund on time. But I stand in heaven. And I reach down a hand and I tell you that there is a law. There is a law that you will not be able to escape. And that is the law of sin. There is a price. There is a price that you have amassed with your life. He says, I chuckle at your national debt. $14 trillion. 14,000 billion dollars pales in comparison to the amount of sin that you have amassed in your life. There is no way for you to get around that law. There is no way for me to get around that law. And there is a judgment day that is coming that you shall not be able to escape. I cannot change that law, but I'll pay the price for you. Because Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, and he hung on a cross that your sins might be paid for, and that the judgment that you have earned would not fall upon you. And I don't know where you're at with the Lord today. Lisa, could you come up and play for a minute? But you sit here today, it's like a freight train running down, right down on you. And the Lord is saying, I'll save you. He says, I'll give you my life for your life. My holiness for your filthiness. And even exchange. But when we make the change, no more shaking and baking. No more playing games. I'll give you my life. And you give me yours. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, I thank you that you see this law that will not budge. And you don't just wipe it away. And with that, all the transgressions that have ever been committed. But Lord, you tell us that you came to fulfill the law. That you lived a life that I could not live. That you hung on a cross, Lord, to pay the price that I could not pay. If you are here today and you are a Christian, I'd like to have you just begin to pray. You're here and you have entered into that transaction with our Lord. You need to be baptized in water. Next week we can handle that. We got a class coming up. But you are sitting here today and you're afraid. Because you've been working your own action. And you have been playing your own games. And you have not relied upon the Lord. You have not experienced His power. You have not experienced His provision. And right now from heaven He says, my child, you are lost. You are lost. You are in danger of judgment. You are just like those satraps thrown into the lion's den. And I offer you in exchange my life for your life. And no more playing around. And nobody's looking around this place, but this morning the Lord is speaking to your heart. It is as if you walked into this place and I've been talking right to you for the last 45 minutes. And you are freaking out. You've been thinking for the first half, how do I get out of this place? And right now you're thinking, how can I stay? How can I be transformed in my life? You have not accepted the Lord Christ before, not in a real way. Right now, you're trembling because the Holy Spirit is upon you, saying, this invitation is for you, child. Do not leave here the same. Don't leave here with your sins.